If you don't like me, don't vote me on your podcast.
They can turn it off.
Fuck them. Mr. James Locke.
What's happening? Thank you for having me.
I want to delve deep, try and find the real James Locke.
It's very hard.
Your mum left you when you were five years old.
It's fundamentally, you do need two parents. If your mum and dad are split up, it does have a knock-on effect.
You said that one of your downfalls is that you invest in girls first.
What makes me very powerful as a person is that I'm very self-aware. It doesn't mean I don't make the same mistakes.
You've always got your fingers in different pies. I imagine your dad's an influence in this respect.
Every day when you work for yourself, you wake up with nothing. It's down to you to go out and get it. You've got to take control of your own life.
You said that when you were a kid, you were a little fatty. When did that change?
I've always liked sports. I played every sport when I was at school. Fundamentally, it's good for your mind.
You've been quite open with your battles with body dysmorphia.
You're finding fault in yourself. I look shit there. No, you don't. And obviously, it's emphasised when you're on TV or in the public eye, the better you look, the more money you make.
Hey, Matt Haycock's here with a quick interruption just to say, I hope you're liking the show, but please, please like, subscribe or comment. That's how we can bring you better guests. That's how we can make the show better each week. So please, please, that's all I ever ask of you. We never charge. We never ask anything else. Just please give us a few moments of your time. But I want to do something a bit, I want to try and find a different angle.
Okay.
Because I guess I'm sure you talk a lot about Towie, you talk a lot about reality and that kind of stuff. Mm. But I want to delve deep and try and find the real James Locke. You know, who's the man behind the screen?
Many people, especially women, have tried.
Well, maybe we can help them get a few percent along the road. But I want to go back to the beginning. And you know, you and I went for dinner last night. We were talking a little bit, and we were kind of talking about this a bit off camera. And you told me that your mom left you when you were five years old, and that was kind of almost like the lead into a conversation where I think you think there's probably some lingering after effects from that, and you know that you're a lot more fragile or vulnerable than people think, or that you would come across, and you probably date that back to when your mom first left. So let's go back to little 5 year old James. He probably still had pecs and big thighs, but.
A little fat kid.
Oh, really? Mm. Oh, we'll talk about that separately. We'll talk about that separately. But yeah, I mean, you know, can you remember your mom leaving to this day?
I just feel like, look, we were chatting yesterday, and it's a bit of it's a weird one and a sensitive subject in the sense that people don't really think too much into, I don't know, I do think into like their parents and stuff, but like, we got very deep yesterday, last night, but over a couple of bottles of wine. But you do need two parents. You do need the two parents there. You know, I'm not saying that people that are not well-rounded or well-grounded people and people that ain't gone on to do X, Y, and Z having, you know, either, you know, no parents or a mum or a dad. But having two parents there is fundamental for me. I feel like you benefit from both having a mum and a dad.
Are you saying needing both parents in the same house in a relationship, or you just need the support and love of them?
I think if having them in the same house, in the same environment, you know, how it's, you know, traditionally how it's meant to be. I think having them parents there is fundamental. It does make a big difference. If your mum and dad are split up, you come from they call it a broken home, but it sounds worse than it is. But it does have a knock-on effect to the person, you know, whether you accept that, acknowledge that. However you may deal that, however you deal with that as a person, that is you. Everyone's an individual. So how you deal with that, I'm not trying to say you need to be a certain type of person, or that will sculpt you as a certain type of person, having a mum or, you know, having a mum and dad there, having been in the same environment or not being in the same environment or not having them at all. Does that make sense?
But what would you say that it's more important to have your mum and dad together at the expense of them even getting on? So I've got a 17-year-old daughter. She, me and her mum haven't been together under the same roof since she was probably two.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's a great woman, her mum. She's been a great mum to my daughter, and she's been a very easy ex-wife for me to have, which is probably one in a billion, really.
Yeah.
And we've always gotten on separately. We've always very properly co-parented, have never had any issues whatsoever. And, you know, she really is. I mean, every parent says it, but, I mean, that daughter really is a credit to the pair of us. And, you know, people laugh and say, how the fuck has she come out like she's come out, you know, as your kid? If I'd have stayed with her mom, and I was, listen, when my daughter was two, I was 25, 26, 27, running the strip clubs and stuff. Mm. Yes, listen, I'd have carried on my behavior as a horrible husband and, you know, misbehaved. We'd have been arguing and mom was going batty with me all the time. Yeah. You know, if she'd have had another 10 or 15 years of that, I would imagine that would have hurt her more than the fact that she didn't have a mom and dad living in the same house. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but listen, again, this is to do with circumstances and each story, each person as an individual. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you, listen, this is becoming very particular because you used to work in strip clubs, but then at the same time, you say, did you need to work in the strip clubs and then being there, drinking, socializing? Just if you went there and just treated it as a job, obviously it's a very unsociable job. It's a sociable in the aspect for the punters, but it's unsociable for your family. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's like, for instance, I'm always up London in the week networking. I'm having meetings, you know, there's another, after this, I've got another meeting with my business partner. So I'm at meetings and I'll probably pop out, go for dinner. Then when my family want to see me of a weekend, I'm shattered by the weekend. So I end up chilling. You know, well, most people work all week, 9 to 5s, whatever. Then that's when they party, or that's when they that's when they indulge in whatever they, you know, hobbies, seeing friends and family, going out, whatever. That's what they, you know what I'm saying? It's a very reverse. Everything depends on circumstances and the person, if that makes sense. But I do strongly believe, look, I can't speak from a parent's perspective because I haven't got any children. But what I'm saying is from the perspective of being a child from, you know, a so-called broken home, I feel, even though, listen, I've been brought up by my dad and I feel like he done a very good job, still had contact with my mum. I feel I'm very well-rounded as a person, you know. I'm not, anyone that knows me will know I'm very well-rounded, but I'm not, look, there's definitely factors there where things would have been different had my mum and dad been together. You know, things would have been different. I'm not trying to say it's taken anything away from me as a person, you know. But I back myself 100%. But I'm saying that it takes, there will be something lacking of being brought up or a certain outlook.
On using you as a specific example, yeah. I mean, what do you think is lacking or would have been different?
I'm brought up very tough love. So in a sense, I'm very old. Look, how I'm brought up anyway is a very old school East End values, which
you
is
were living with
some,
your dad, your mum yeah. left and you were just living with
yeah,
your dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So my brother and sister was with my mum and I stayed
Why?
With my dad because we just like the split, when the split happened, as a kid, I didn't want to leave my dad. All the kids went with the mum. That's natural for all the kids to go with the mum. I didn't want to leave my dad. So I stayed with him. But you can definitely see a difference. If you met me and my siblings, you can see a difference between me and my brother. There's a lot of similarities. We're very similar. Looking, how we talk, but then there's a lot of differences. There's a lot of differences. And you'd have to meet my brother for me to acknowledge that. And you can see, whereas one's been brought up softer and one's been brought up more, you know, more as a man, it's very tough love or more sensitive. You can tell the difference. My brother's a lot more sensitive than me, you know?
Absolutely.
And see, sometimes people misperceive me thinking that as if I'm a little bit arrogant or I don't give a fuck. A lot's happened to me in my life. Like a lot's happened to a lot of people. I don't sit here, obviously, cry about it. I don't talk about it. I just get on with it. But again, loads of factors over the years sculpt someone as a person, you know? And I think people sometimes forget, you know, especially when you're in this industry, like people will, you know, judge. So everyone thinks I was born with a silver, you know, I'm some rich kid, born with a silver spoon in my mouth from Chigwell. I'm not from Essex. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm not, and I'm definitely not from Chigwell or Bourne. Like, if I foul, it's all on me. Do you know what I'm saying? So people have a misperception and then see what we find in everyday life. People, you know, you don't know what people are going through. Do you know what I'm saying? You don't know what people are going through on a daily basis. You don't know what their background, what their circumstances are. It is what it is. I'm not sitting there trying to cry about it. It is what it is. It's life. Get on with it. But I'm just saying that as a whole, there's a lot of factors that sculpt a person in general. Whether you acknowledge it or accept it or you don't, there's a lot of things. Even me, as much as I might think I'm well grounded, I'm happy who I am. Yeah, I'm very happy. I'm a very content place in my life. Yeah, there's still things that could have been better. You can't say there's always things that could have been done better or could have been a better situation. Do you know what I'm saying?
And you say that you're a well-rounded person. Were there times that you look back at where you were less well-rounded than you are now, you know, because of that background and, you know, things that you've had to work on?
I think sometimes, especially in relationships, you're sitting here now, you're saying at the beginning, oh, like he's the ladies' man. Yes, I can go out, I can socialise. Listen, not just a ladies' man. I'm a very sociable person. I've got a lot of friends, I've got a lot of acquaintances. I'm a sociable person, you know, whether you're a male, female, whatever. But when it comes to actually being in relationships with people, especially with a girl, sometimes when you need that sensitive side, I don't think I'm that as sensitive sometimes. See, sometimes I'm awkward in situations. I'm awkward. And it's not through being cold. It's just through where I'm brought up, very tough love, and just with a one man's dynamic. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Even though my dad is affectionate, listen, me and my dad have a cuddle. It's affectionate. It's a weird one. Again, it's like people, I feel like people can relate to it. It's a weird one, but you're listening. I think everyone will get it. And I think you understand what I'm saying, where if you're more affectionate, women are, listen, they are the fairer sex. They are a lot more emotional, and that's not a bad thing. You know, I think that, if anything, that makes them stronger than us.
So, but you say that in relationships, you maybe haven't been as sensitive as you could have been or you would have liked to have been.
Yeah, but I think that's been a very
holding you back in relationships. Yeah. But then you also said to me last night, you said that probably one of your downfalls is that you invest in girls first.
Yeah. For a lot of men, though.
They sound a bit contradictory, those two things, because I guess you know, you might not be sensitive, but you are.
So because I'm not sensitive,
putting that girl first.
I overinvest. So basically, because I'm aware that what makes me very powerful as a person is that I'm very self-aware. Self-awareness is like acknowledgement, yep, is powerful. Like, I know this is the thing as well, because as much as it's powerful, it also doesn't mean I don't make the same mistakes. Do you know what I mean? Like, so even though I'm self-aware, like, I know my downfalls.
What are they?
I think my downfalls are that sometimes, look, like a lot of people, I think I people please.
For their benefit or for yours?
Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, it comes from a place of, it comes from a good place, because, like, I genuinely, listen, everyone's going to sit and say they're a good person, but I've got a big heart. Wear my heart on my sleeve. That's why, you know, I overinvest in things and do become a bit of a yes man, a bit of a people pleaser, which is bad for you. You can never win being a yes man or being a people pleaser. Do you know what I'm saying? And then that sometimes, because of that, you get taken advantage of. So as much as I might be not as affectionate, it doesn't mean I don't. Oh, then you overinvest in other ways.
I think for me, the biggest downfall of being a people pleaser, because I don't know if I'd necessarily exactly use those words, but I can completely relate to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, historically, I've always said yes to too many things, you know, helped too many people out.
Yes.
But then you say help too many people out. You know, I like to be helpful, like to be generous, like to give people what they want. And I don't. And then if I get let down or fucked over, that doesn't really bother me, because I just look at that as part of the course. I think my biggest regret in doing, let's say, too much for too many people is you have no fucking time for yourself. And
exactly,
one of the best things of being able to say no, or not being able to, learning to say no, because I think it's maybe not a skill, but it's certainly a muscle, you know, like learning to say no.
It's a powerful muscle.
Is that you get that time back either for yourself or for the ones you want to concentrate on, because I spend so much time doing things for other people. That I come home and I'm just fucked, and you know, barely got time for the missus, certainly no time for myself, and you know, and then
it's not healthy. See that? It's not healthy. See, like, now I'm at a point where, you know, saying no, I'm at a point where what's held me back, obviously, what we're talking about over the years, what's held me back is over investing, being a bit of a yes man. I think a lot of people, being a people pleaser, I think a lot of people, the last couple of years have been a massive transition for me. So, if I can go out, like you said, I go out yesterday and socialise, and I'm still that same person, but I just don't say yes to everything. Saying no is a power itself, because, do you know what I'm saying? When it comes to a point where you want something, these people that you're saying yes to, let's see if they come and help you. Do you know what I'm saying? And lately, the last few years have been a massive transition for me, because I've actually started saying no. Then people, I've actually lost a lot of the people around me, but they're the fake people. They're the people you don't want around you. I'm a lot happier. You know, see these things, you see these memes on you know, Instagram or wherever online. Being on my own, going for eating on my own. I actually love being on my own. I train on my own, I eat on my own. You know, I'm on my own most days, most of the time. And that's okay. I go to my meetings, do my thing. when I'm meeting, when I'm doing things like that, it's business. If things ain't serving me, I am selfish, but selfish in a good way, because that's a sign of self-respect. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. When you're overly pleasing, look, someone to go out, you know, I don't know. I could be, I'm here now. This is what, like, nothing, we're friends, but this is work. We're doing something productive. Yeah, we're talking about productive things. I think us men talking about things like this is a productive thing. Or I could be out on the piss talking shit with a load of fucking people who just want me there for a good time, paying the bill, yeah? Because I make a few Richards. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying? It's a negative thing. Next to, like, where's that going to get me? But when you start saying no to them people, they start, oh, he's changed. Who's he think he is? Do you know what I'm saying? It's you can't... Pleasing people is not the answer.
And I guess, well... Have you seen, you must have seen a big difference in that from the time that you weren't on the telly to the time you were on the
of
telly?
Course.
I mean, pre-TV, were you still that people pleaser?
Yeah, pre-TV, I think everyone, as I'm trying to say, I think everyone is a victim of it. Even your pals are calling you up, you don't even really want to go out, but you're out, you're on the piss, you don't want to do it. Do you know what I'm saying? That's people pleasing at some level. Obviously, it's emphasised and it's, you know, times 10 since I've been on the TV because everyone wants to come out and party with me. You know what I'm saying? And that's caused another problem in relationships. You know, you're on this show or, you know, you're in reality TV and people want to be wrapped around you. Otherwise, most of the people I meet in this day and age, I would never meet if I hadn't been on TV. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're not the people I grew up with. You know, they're not people I was socialised with or would have, you know, would have been in any environment where I would have met them, you know. Again, this is pros and cons of the industry. Yes, there's a load, obviously, there's more pros than cons, otherwise I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be doing it. It's opened so many doors, but there is a dark side to it. Do you know what I'm saying? As much as you might go to an event and meet 10 potential, you know, potential clients in a sense that, you know, I might meet a couple of agents, I might meet people that, you know, producers for shows or people that, you know, have, you know, own brands, want to do endorse, want to work with me. There's also negative where there's people there that's just want a party and it's not, listen, it's not on them. It's down to you as an individual about being...
And like you said, I mean, you say about being self-aware, but, you know, as long as you're aware or self-aware, I mean, I guess, yes, it's more amplified in the media situation, but it's the same in everyday life, isn't it? You walk into the room, there's good people, there's bad people, and I guess you get better at reading people over time, and it's probably not too hard for you now to see a couple of guys in a room and think, you know what, they're not for me.
They're not necessarily always bad, is what I'm trying to say. Like, see, this is giving a vague explanation for something that's a lot more in depth. Now, when you're at people that just because they want to party with you doesn't necessarily mean that they're a negative or they're a bad person.
But maybe bad for you.
Bad for me in that situation, but that's down to you as a person saying, no, not for me, you know. I'm not drinking tonight. I'm having an early one. And then having the willpower to tell them that, be firm with it and then leave. But what I'm saying is that just because they want to part with you doesn't make them bad people. You know, they're not seeing the negative. They're not doing something malicious. You know what I'm saying? They're just like thinking, look, we're going to, if anything, it's coming from a place of endearment. You know, again, you've got to take control of your own life. No one's here. No one's coming to rescue you. You know what I'm saying? It's down to you to address or, you know, look at a situation, analyze it, and then make your own decisions for yourself. Because not, like I said to you, no one is here. No one's here to rescue you. No one's here to mother you or baby you. You've got to look after yourself.
So when you say... that you invest in girls first. What do you mean by that?
Not investing girls first. So what happens with me?
When are you having a relationship?
So, no, but anyone in general. Mm-hmm. So what happens? I have a lot of acquaintances, girls, boys or girls. You know, I'm a very social person. What happens is when I do invest in someone, so with me, I'm very, like, might come across as a bit standoffish or cold. It's not cold. I am standoffish because I'm standoffish. Right. This sounds a bit, it contradicts itself. As much as I can be sociable, I don't invest. I don't, like, I might be out, we might bump the job out, we might go out, have a great night, or we'll be in the gym. You know what I'm saying? We'll be chatting and whatever, get on, like, house on fire. That doesn't mean I'm going to invest. I'm not then ringing you going, oh, what are you doing? Do you want to come and chill? I'll do it. When you go past the point where it's not just, you're not socializing, you're not an acquaintance, you're investing in a person where, you know, you're seeing someone on a regular basis, whether it's a man or a woman. You then, when you're giving someone, you're making time for someone. rather than just, you know, sparing a moment sort of thing, or bumping into someone. When you're actually making time for someone, that you're invested in someone, you know. When you're changing your plans, whether it's, look, the weekend, whether I'm going to speak to a lady and going, look, what are you doing the weekend? I'm putting her, making her a priority. Or I'm speaking to my pals, I'm like, look, so what are you doing tonight? You're and then, oh, you're not free to this time. You're changing your schedule for
I'll
someone.
Stay around you, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when you invest in someone like that, that's an investment. Do you know what I'm saying? You're freeing up time. Your time is precious. Freeing up time for someone is an investment. Then what is one thing being with one of your pals, that's a mine, obviously, like just, you know, changing arrangements for them. It's like tonight, I'm just singing at Sheesh. So I don't need to be going out tonight, but I'm going there. So I'm changing my plans, you know, to go and support someone at a restaurant. Yes, I'll be there having a great time, but I'm altering my plans, which is not too, listen, you're still doing it to some degree, but it's not, you know, it's not life-changing. Whereas with a woman, when I'm invested, I will literally invest everything, all my time into that person. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I think a lot of men are like this, where you won't, they come first. In regards to business, I'm not funny, but if I was with someone now and they was going through, they were struggling, I would literally not have turned up today, which is a great thing. People think, oh, listen, that's a gentleman, it's a nice guy. But do you know something? It's that itself, this is work, this is business. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, not going to the meeting after because I've got to go back and someone's a bit upset. That has a knock-on effect. Do you know what I'm saying?
But I think as much as it's important to be able to say no, you've also got to do what makes you happy and feels right. And you know, sometimes it's very easy to say, well, would they do the same for me? And the reality is, if you're a good person, if you're a generous person, probably 8 times out of 10, that person wouldn't do the same for you. But does that mean you want to change who you are? You know, like...
No, you don't change who you are. You know, I don't think ever change who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. And just going back to your parents for a minute. So when your mom left at 5, did you maintain a relationship with her growing up, or did she disappear for a while?
No, I maintained, like we've all maintained a relationship.
Oh, it's just that you weren't living together.
No, it just wasn't living together. But again, you'd have to know me and my family more in depth. I know you know me as a person, but you could see the difference between me and my brother. Whereas one's brought up in one house and the other's brought up in the other. You can see there's a massive difference. And I'm not saying that people can't be different being brought up in the same house, but there's a noticeable difference between me and my brother, you know? Both done well. We're both in decent. I like to think we're both well-rounded individuals, but you just can see in traits of personality a lot of difference.
Well, let's talk a bit about business and and doing well. I mean, obviously, as I know you, you know, you're a hungry guy, you're a ducker and a diver. You've always got your fingers in different pies. I mean, I would imagine that dates back to your early childhood. I mean, I imagine your dad's an influence in this respect as well. I mean, did you always want to get out there grafting and making money?
I think, look, people that say money doesn't make you happy, that's all bullshit. Money, I'm not saying money itself makes you happy, but it enables you to live a life that makes you happy. It gives you freedom. So to say that money doesn't make you happy is bollocks. And when you come from nothing, listen, like yourself, when you come from nothing and you have money, you can't go back. It's like when you've experienced something, and in the industry I'm in, or listen, even in real life, I think a lot of people, you're up, you're down. Do you know what I'm saying? If you are like you got that entrepreneur mindset, you know, where you want better, you know, and you take that gamble, you take that risk, you're not doing your 9-to-5. Now, fair play to people that do 9-to-5s. My mum does a 9-to-5. My mum always done a 9-to-5. My dad always worked for himself. Now, you've got to remember, every day when you work for yourself, you wake up with nothing. Do you know what I'm saying? Every day you wake up, it's down to you to go out and get it. It makes you hungry. That mindset, I like that mindset because it makes you hungry in life. And I'm still hungry now. I'm still, you know, I've had various businesses and I've tried various things. The people got to understand is that I've had loads of things that I've done well from, but a lot of things that I've failed from. Probably more that I've failed from than I've done well from. But that's part of the journey. That's part that the whole journey, the struggle. You know, that's what builds character.
How do you feel about those failures? You know, when they happened at the time.
And, yeah.
I mean, have you had some failures which have been public as well since you've been in the public eye?
Of course, there's been loads of failures since I've been public. But this is the thing. It's like, obviously, in the tabloids, I'm always the front guy. I'm the full guy. So these businesses, sometimes when they fail, they actually haven't failed because they're bad businesses. It's been a breakdown of, there's other things, there's a lot deeper issue, breakdown of communication with the partners, lack of effort from certain people. Listen, I'm not trying to say I'm Alan Sugar and everything I touch turns to gold, because it obviously doesn't. But, and there's been some failures down to me, down to lack of effort from me. But I can hand on heart say that most of the time, the businesses that I've had have been good businesses, even dating back to when I've had bars, the restaurants, they've all been good businesses, but certain people haven't stepped up and they've caused me problems. Like, it's not me. They haven't done what they are meant to do. You've got to remember, obviously, when people get into business with me, whether it be a restaurant, bar, endorsing a brand, I'm the face. My job is for exposure, marketing, getting it out there.
Is that typically your only role at the time? I mean, do you ever put capital into these businesses? Do you ever get involved in the operations?
No.
Or you're the marketing, you're the brand, you're the face?
Right. So, see, in terms of capital, in the past I have, but that's not smart business. I'm a commodity myself. You know, what I bring to the table is, listen, otherwise someone wouldn't invest in me. There's no point me going into business with someone if I'm going to put the money in. I don't need that person. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. If me and you are going to do a business, if you want to get involved with me and you want to get it out there, why am I going 50-50 with you? What are you bringing to the table? Do you know what I'm saying? I don't need you. I might as well just pay the whole thing myself.
I know what you're saying. So fleshing on from that then, as someone who's had multiple partnerships,
yep,
and multiple partners which break down as well. Mm. What if you're looking to partner up with someone now, if you're looking to, you know, to go into business, what do you think are the traits of a good business partner?
Traits. Right. You need someone in the trenches. So yes, I'm very hands-on.
Someone because, will put the graft in when it
yes,
counts.
But I'm very hands-on anyway. As you know, like if it's my business, it's my name. From the past experiences, when I've not been hands-on or not, when I've just tried to sit back thinking I'm just going to be the face, if you like, that's caused me problems. And then when it all goes peak tongue, all fucks up, it's all on me. The other person, no one knows who I had the kitchen with, or no one knows who I had this bar with, or the brand, or whatever else. No one knows that. Do you know what I'm saying? It's always, Lockie's kitchen, Lockie's bar. It's all on me. So it makes it look like I've had loads of failed businesses when the people that I've actually invested in, they haven't pulled their finger out. And listen, I can hand on heart and say that, not put all the blame, but they haven't done what they're meant to do. I'm not the details person. See, a lot of time with these influencers, people say, oh, it's this business failed. Or used to be, Tower was notorious for it. All the girls setting up shops or bars and they was failing. No, we was always the face. We're busy filming. Like, people think I'm just sitting here and someone's following me around the camera and they think I don't do fuck all day. That's what makes me die. People think I don't do anything all day. They ring me up. They think I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm literally just sitting at home or I'm going to the gym. I'm busy. We're still out. You're active. Do you know what I'm saying? Running errands, doing whatever you're doing, your day-to-day business, working. Today, like, people ringing me, bugging me now, like, as if I'm not doing anything. Do you know what I'm saying? So when you're invested in someone, yes, I've got time to sit there, to market, whether it be a brand, you know, whatever type of business. But they've got, it's all the detail stuff, like the stuff that's in the, when I say in the trenches, the reason why I would invest in someone is that they are a business person in that field. So whether it be a bar or restaurant, I never had a kitchen. For instance, just to talk about Lockie's kitchen. I never had a kitchen. I haven't got a background working in a restaurant. The person I got involved with, they invested the money and they had a background. It's an Italian guy. He had a background in kitchen, you know, in restaurants. Then when it comes to it, he was never there. He'd never been to the restaurant. Been to the restaurant twice, come to it on opening night. He was never there. How am I supposed to run a business that I've never even, a completely different industry that I don't know about and I've never worked in? Do you know what I'm saying? I have no background in it at all. I had an idea. I was there all the time. People coming down, want to see me, Lockie's kitchen. I'm there all the time, meeting people, like, you know, being who I am. They want to meet me. They see me on the telly. They want to come and meet me. Do you know what I'm saying? People coming down to see me. I'm not there cooking. Do you know what I mean? I'm not there cooking. I'm not there serving people. You know, I'm just there, you know, being the host, if you like. Everything else was meant to be down to someone else. That was left to me. Like I said, how can you leave something? You know, I wouldn't come and run. Listen, you will never employ me to come run your business when I've had no background in it. You set yourself up to fail. Does that make sense? But then
absolutely,
when it all goes to shit, Who do people look at? They look at me. Mm-hmm. I'll look at, oh, fucking his kitchen's flop. No, it didn't flop. The kitchen was a great idea. it's still a great idea now. I'd love to do the kitchen again with someone else who's a proper businessman, with who's proper, you know, who knows about that business, who's got the time to invest in that business. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely.
And not wasting my time. See, like now I'm a lot more, like we're going back to, I'm a lot more selective with my time. I ain't got time to waste. So when people are not putting their finger out, fuck them.
Let's talk about exercise, which is obviously massive part of your life and also one of your businesses as well. You said that when you were a kid, you were a little fatty. When did that change? When did you get into exercise, health, fitness?
So I've always liked sports. You're either one of them kids or you're not. I've always liked sports. I played every sport when I was at school. As I got a bit older, I moved more into the gym. But I like mixing it up. You know, I don't do weights every day. I used to. At one point, I got mad on the weights, and you know, you do get a bit obsessed with it, a bit carried away. But I like to mix it up. Like the other day, I'm playing tennis. I'm playing squash. You know what I'm saying? I like to mix it. Or I'll go swimming. I do a bit of weights. I do a bit of running. I mix it up. You know, either jiu-jitsu, bit of boxing. I like to keep active, because keeping active, fundamentally, it's good for your mind, it's good for your body, it keeps you healthy. Yes, and obviously, you know, if you train the right way, especially with what I do, it's very, like, aesthetic.
And how's your eating?
Because, I mean, obviously... I'm very disciplined. Like, obviously, last night went out, we had a bit of food. I still go out, I have a cheat meal, I go out and I eat. If I'm out, I'm in company, or I have a few drinks, or I'll go and eat what I want. But, you know, 90% of the time, I'm very disciplined. You know, I'm very disciplined with my diet. And this is the problem. I've got people messaging me day in, day out, asking me about, you know, about their diet, about their workouts. There's no quick fix. You know, there's no quick fix. Even people talk about steroids. See, steroids. You don't just do a steroid and you all of a sudden get muscly. You still got to train. Yeah. There's loads of guys down in the gym, big fat guys. They do steroids. They do loads of steroids. They're fat. People, he's on the roids or she's, you know, doing some crazy diet. It still takes discipline. You know, it takes discipline to stay away from the, you know, to eat regimented meals, you know, keep it like a well-balanced diet, you know, which is like, you know, it's normally a low-carb, high-protein diet, you find. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's a well-balanced diet. A lot of people now, you know, you go out, they're sitting there eating pizza, you know, burgers, pasta. They're wondering why they're not losing weight. Eating bread. You can't be eating bread. You know, bread is the worst thing in the world to eat. If you're looking to lose weight, you're not sitting there, whether you're sitting in this little thin bread, going to a Turkish, going to an, wherever you're going, bread is, that is.
I do find when I'm trying to go on, because I don't really do diets, I just try and eat better, because, you know, like with my lifestyle, similar to yours, going out a lot, entertaining, seeing clients, you know, you can't say no to going out to restaurants. It'd be very easy to sit at home with meals.
Yesterday, right.
I mean, I wasn't as well behaved as you last night, but, you know, I find... If I cut pudding out, I mean, that's half the fucking battle. It's probably saved me 600-800 calories a day, just that.
If you cut out bread, it's a game changer. I tell people this all day. There's other things. When you start sitting there talking about diets and stuff, I carb cycle, I keep my carbs low. People need to realise that I still eat carbs. I don't do like what this Eddie fella does and just completely not eat carbs. I eat carbs. You need to eat carbs, because basically if you cut anything out completely... when you start eating that again, it will have a negative effect on your body. You know, these people that do these crash diets, like you've got, not funny, you go and do these diets when you're just having a couple of juices, or, you know, you still need to be balanced in what you're eating. It's like being balanced in life. Everything's about balance. Balance is the key with everything. Not for me.
So how did the fitness app come about?
The fitness app come about because, again, a lot of people are asking me about training, and I see a lot of these apps out there. A lot of these people do these apps, and they're just money spinners, you know. And these guys, a lot of these, you know, these PTs, all due respect, mention no names. A lot of them are just genetically gifted, or they are just taking X, Y, and Z, and they are having a little cheat. Again, they still have to work hard to get into the position where they are. That's what I'm saying. There's no quick fix, whether you're doing steroids or any sort of diet. There's no quick fix. It takes discipline. So you can't take that away from anyone. Don't get me wrong, but some people are more genetically gifted than others. You know, some people, you know, you see these people that go out, eat whatever they want, and they literally just don't put on any weight. And you get other people on the other end of the spectrum. But it still takes discipline. And for me, there's so much bollocks out there. And I had so many people asking me, you know, so many people, I've been on TV a long time, I've got so many people that look up to me and ask me, you know, value my opinion. That's half the reason why I've done the app. And the app's done really well. Like, from the app straight away, the amount of downloads has been crazy. You know, I've kept it, I've started with a free, listen, the app's free to download. There's a free trial. And even after the trial, it's only $7.49, which is very cheap for an app. A lot of people are charging, you know, double, three times that. And with that, you're getting, you know, calorie trackers, you're getting a breakdown, you're getting nutrition plans, you're getting workout plans. You've got an online community, you've got everything there. You've got a lot of content and a lot within that app, you know, for a very cheap price. And the reason for that, of course, we've still got to run it. It can't be run for free because it takes time. So I can't run it for free. But that is the price I'm doing it for is pretty much for fuck all.
Just for anyone who doesn't quite make it to the end of the podcast, where we'll put all the notes anyway, okay. just give it a little shout out where they can find it.
Okay.
From.
So yeah, I've got an app called Lockie's Kitchen. Lockie's Kitchen. I've got an app called Lockie's Fitness. It's my workout. It's my fitness app. If you go and download it, it's got everything you need pretty much to get in shape. It's very real. It's very simple. You know, it's simple things, but ultimately, I can tell you exactly what I'm doing. In this app is everything, is how I live. You know, I use a calorie tracker and I track all my macros, because if you don't track it, how can you maintain or get into shape when you don't actually know what you need to know where you're starting from. So this, you go in and you put in your credentials, find out where you're starting from, and you can map from there whether you want to, you know, tone up, build muscle, or lose weight. Okay, if that makes sense, yeah? And then you can obviously, you track what you're doing. You need to track what you're eating on a daily basis, your proteins, your fats, and your carbs. That's the main three things. You can calorie count. I'm not a massive calorie counter, but the fats, the carbs, and your protein, you need to monitor that, you know? And people, like, listen, this day and age, people overindulge in carbs. You know, everything is carbs, even bits of fruit, you know, vegetables, they're all carbs. Do you know what I'm saying?
And it's $7.49 a month.
$7.49 a month.
And there's some add-ons or some upgrades you can pay for more.
There's some upgrades as well. So at the minute, the app's quite new. So for $7.49, look, it just gives you an in-depth, gives you an in-depth perspective of what I actually do on a daily basis. I literally all the work, all the nutrition plans, the workout plans, everything that I do on a daily basis. This is what I live by. So that app is very personal to me. It's not one of these apps I just put my name to. It's my app. If you want to know what I'm doing and how I keep in shape, how I can, you know, yo-yo at 1 minute where I can overindulge and go out last night, have a few drinks, eat what I want, but then I can still get up and do a photo shoot the next day, it's because I'm living by what I'm doing within this app. Now, within the app, at the minute, like I said, it's very new at the minute. I'm going to start, there's going to be upgrades. There's certain things where you can buy more personalized workouts. There's a few people I'm training at the minute, one being Arch. So when people, I'm doing like a body transformation with Arch just to show that it is discipline. It is what I'm saying, what I'm preaching is the truth. And people are seeing that already. So I'm doing a 12-week, we've done a start with a 6-week transformation with Arch, doing a 12-week one.
Were you doing against the muscle on him?
Yes. So he's lost a lot of weight.
I mean, he looks like a different man. I mean, literally, unrecognizable. Mm.
No, listen, he's lost loads of weight. He looks brand new. He's a completely changed man. He's changed his life for the better. I'm proud of him. As a friend, I'm proud of him. But he's at a point now where he's got loads of things back on track. He's lost the weight. He sorted himself out. He stopped drinking because that was having a negative effect on him. And he's happier than ever. You know, he's still doing TV. He's, you know, he's doing stuff for the Arch Band. I'm going to see him tonight. He's performing at Sheesh. And he's smashing it. I'm happy for the guy. You know, I'm genuinely happy for him as a friend. Now he's come to me, like, he's like, look, I've lost loads of weight. He's looking double well. But he now wants to look more ascetic. He wants to put on a bit of muscle, if you like. So the right sort of weight. So I'm helping him with that. I'm literally showing him. He's training with me. So people that follow me, you'll see that he's doing exactly what I'm doing. You know, and then he's obviously, I'm doing like a one-to-one PT and training him. So, and that's what I'm going to start doing within the app. So with the app, I'm going to start doing one-to-one training, online coaching. Plus, I will, for selective people, I'll start doing personalized coaching as well, like I'm doing with Arj.
You've been quite open with your battles with body dysmorphia.
Yes. Yeah. So people, again, it's another subject. It's a bit of a, it's something that people can't always grasp. You can be insured, but
has that been something that's always been with you, or is that something that's developed, what with being on the TV and more in the public eye?
Right, so it's definitely, I spoke about this on Good Morning Britain the other day. So the body dysmorphia, everyone's got it in some aspect. It's not just the women, men have it as well. You know, whether you're, you know, you have a picture of your friends and you're checking that picture, that's body dysmorphia. Or you might have a look at it, but if you're overly looking or I don't like that one, it's insecurities. That's body dysmorphia. You're finding fault in yourself. I look shit there. No, you don't. You're finding fault in yourself. So whether it's just having a picture, whether you're not on TV, you're training, you're a man or a woman, you're training, you know, you're going away, you're going to Marbella, you're going to Ibiza, you want to look, or you're getting married. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's not being comfortable with just who you are at that present point of time. So if that is body dysmorphia, do you know what I'm saying? That is in some aspect. And obviously it's emphasized when you're on TV or in the public eye, you know, whether you like it or not, this is a very vain industry. Like you, the better you look, the more money you make. Like if I wasn't in shape, they'd be, I wouldn't be doing a fitness app. You know, I wouldn't be getting fitness endorsements. Like you are like, I am a walking, like I'm a business. I'm a walking advert for my own business. If I get out of shape, then if I'm not in shape, no one's going to go and buy my app. Does that make sense? So then the body dysmorphia kicks in because then I'm not just competing with other reality stars or other people within this industry. I'm competing with fitness models. Now, I'm not a fitness model. Fitness models, I'm not afraid. That discipline goes to another level where they're not out. Since last night, they wouldn't be out drinking, eating what we're eating at all. Trust me, I've been at them boys. They live a very regimented and a very, listen, I'll say boring, but all due respect.
It's horse, of course, isn't it? Yes. They love it.
They love it. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So my hat's off to them. Again, everyone's different. That's their business. They don't, listen, they are, again, they, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. But the problem is, I can't live that lifestyle doing what I do. Do you know what I'm saying? It kind of reacts.
Well, it's the balance, isn't it? Conflicts. I mean, everything is a trade-off to something else. And I mean, I think I used to, because I always used to say to myself, oh, well, you know, I could be in better shape if I wanted to be, but for me, the wine's more important or the sticky toffee pudding's more important.
It's balance, though.
But again, it's then also finding out, do you really mean that, or are you just using that as an excuse to justify why you're not putting the effort in? And I think when I then did start to lose some weight, I then used to look back and so actually, I mean, listen, I'll never take it to the extremes, like you say, of a fitness model, and I'll probably struggle to get a six pack, but I think I was probably making excuses for myself before.
You could get there, though. You could get there. Anyone.
Oh, I can. I mean, absolutely. When I say struggle, I don't mean I'm physically incapable. I mean, I just
know other things that you thrive in. That's, again, it's just like, talking to someone as an individual, talking about me and you here, there's areas that you excel in that I need to be more disciplined in. Not funny. When last night, we had a few drinks. You went home. I stayed out. See that discipline? You're up 9 a.m. Work it. Do you know what I'm saying? Me doing that, that has a knock-on effect. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm good. I'm not 100% today. I would have been, do you know what I'm saying? We probably should have done this after, we should have done a night out tonight. But see that discipline. So in some aspects, where I go out now, like we went out for a bit of dinner, I'm only eating, I'm limiting my carbs. Even last night when I'm a little bit, I've had a few drinks, I'm still limiting the carbs. I'm just eating purely protein. Yeah, and you might be eating, you know, a bit
tempura,
more rice.
Yeah.
Yes, tempura. Prawns when I stayed away from them. So I'm disciplined like that. But like I'm saying, at the same time, so that's one good thing. But then, you know, it's 11 o'clock, whatever time it was. I've then stayed out with a few friends, had a few more drinks. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. But when I've got something to do today, I shouldn't have, you know, I should have just gone home. Like you was a professional. So that's what I'm trying to say. In one area, you might not excel in, but in other areas, you do. And it's all about balance. It's finding that balance with anyone.
And let's look into that a bit and to kind of see why. Because so yeah, true example. I go home, you don't. Now I'm not looking at the fact that I've gone home because I'm so disciplined and I need to do.
But it is disciplined.
It's like a byproduct is the discipline, because I think if I stay out tonight, I know that I had a podcast before this one, and I also have some calls and stuff to make. I know that if I go to bed at 3 o'clock, full of booze, and get up at six, I'm going to feel a fucking dog, like an absolute dog.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll be, I'll be punishing myself. And as fun as it may be to stay out for a couple of hours more, I know it's not going to be worth it to me in the morning.
Never worth it.
And
in the heat of the moment, though.
It's not that I'm clever and super disciplined. I just think I don't want to feel like shit tomorrow. I don't want to let people down. Why can't you do it?
But it is discipline. That is discipline. Because see, with me, it's all or nothing. Out of sight, out of mind. That me as a person, I can quite easily, you know, not go out and not drink. Like and I can quite easily not come. Do you know what I'm saying? For me, I was always going to drink yesterday. If I'm out, I'm out. There's no like going. I'm not that guy that goes down a pub for a couple of beers after work. I've never been that guy. My dad's never been that guy. If we're out, we're out. So what I do is I don't put myself in that environment. You know, I'd rather be, if I'm, it's an environment where I'm just clean living, training every day, working, grafting every day. Yeah. That is, I'm a completely different person. Don't know, I'm still professional. I'm here now. I'm still here. I'll still turn up. But I'm a better person, a better version of myself had I not been out last night. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Listen, fair play to you. Fair play to anyone to go out, have a few drinks, go home. I can't. And there's a lot of people like that.
Well, like you say, it is. It's a parallel to the food that I guess you couldn't do that, so you went out. I guess because that was more important to you to go out. Whereas with the food, you know, you could avoid the tempura and I couldn't because I just think I don't care enough. I want that tempura.
Yeah.
I want that tempura because, you know, I don't care about the lack of six pack.
Don't get me wrong. Look, it's not when it's having a negative effect. Like, say I went out last night and I hadn't turned up today. That's when there's a problem. Because when you're not doing that, your commitments, work or any sort of commitments, even if you're missing, you know, missing a dinner date or a lunch date with a friend, when you're missing commitments because you got out and got on the piss, that's when it's a problem. If it's affecting you in that sense, that's when you need to really look at yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? What I'm getting at is just that having that mindset where if I just left, I would feel a bit better. You know, I'll be that bit better. Like I said, like anyone watching this now, be like, you're sweet. I know I'm sweet, but I'm just saying, you're a professional. This is what I do. But at the same time, I know myself, I'm not 100%. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And that's because of my own life choices. And again, going back to having that discipline, you know, discipline in certain areas.
And just going back to the body dysmorphia, when, like you say, everybody has it because, you know, we all look at a picture or, you know, compare ourselves a bit. But how do you control it so it doesn't get away from being, let's say, a competitive reason for you to try and better yourself to where it actually becomes a problem? Because you know, like, I don't know, if I look at a picture and say, oh, you know, Lockie looks a bit more muscular than me, I need to get down to the gym, that's positive body dysmorphia. If I look at you and go,
that's negative body dysmorphia. You looking at me thinking, oh, Lockie looks a bit muscly, I need to get down the gym, that's negative.
No, but I mean, I'm using it for a positive reason, like, I'm not going to punish myself.
But I think that's actually a negative. I think that's actually, because since back in the day, I used to look at Van Damme or Arnie. That is where it all stems from. You sit, you're the hero, looking a certain way. You're competing subconsciously. You're competing with that person. You're thinking that heroes, mate, in everyday life, heroes don't look like that.
But I guess what I'm saying is I'm not doing it to compete with you.
Yeah.
I'm using that to make myself better, but not at the expense of my health and safety. Like, I'm not going to get fucking health. I'm going to go and starve myself.
No, but this is where it goes wrong. Because, right, you're looking out for inspiration, but people get obsessed with it. And you're not me, so you're not going to look like me.
And that was my question. Where's the line between inspiration
and that's where
and
it becomes
trouble?
And that's what I'm trying to say. This is where it's a very slippery slope. It's like when someone's confident or arrogant. It's a very fine line. You know, inspiration or whether it being a positive and a negative. You can be. I look at certain fitness models. Or like I said, when I was a kid, I wanted to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, I think most boys did. That was how a hero in your head. That's what, you know, Superman, Batman. They're not fat, are they? You know, they're how you look at them as kids. That's what you want to look at. But then you're it's subconsciously trying to achieve that can sometimes get carried away. You can get lost in trying to achieve perfection. And perfection is ultimately in your own head. You know what I'm saying? You've got to love yourself. Yeah. I know I'm in good shape, but I will still find fault. I'll take pictures. Even though I'm ripped, I've got a six pack, I'll still find fault in myself. Do you know what I'm saying? People think I'm mad. When I look at pictures sometimes, if I show had a picture of me, I'll find fault in it, even me looking ripped. When people give me compliments, I find it hard to take compliments because I will look at a picture. I'm not seeing what they see. Does that make sense? And that's down to you as a person and in not becoming. This is why I spoke the other day, because I see a lot of kids getting obsessed, a lot of young adults. There's adults our own age. It's, I've got some of my friends the same age as us, older than us, that talk to me about it. That's one problem. But when the youngsters are becoming obsessed with their body, they should be obsessed about business, about life, being a better person. Don't get obsessed with being, you know, looking a certain way. That's a very shallow way and a very negative way to live.
What about anxiety? I think you've struggled with that as well.
Anxiety. I think everyone struggles with anxiety to some aspect. Even me, someone that comes into the room, I'm very confident. I go into certain situations. You know, I meet a lot of people from different backgrounds, you know, as you probably do, with business, events, networking. And, you know, sometimes it is when you're going into an environment that you're not comfortable with, you know, they're not one of your own, if you're like, not something you're brought up with or brought up around, where it's second nature. It can be uncomfortable and it will give you anxiety. Like, I could have done a podcast with someone else and that person I might never have met before. It's natural. It might be anxiety. It might be minimal anxiety, but it's still anxiety to a certain degree. Turn up the anticipation, you know, apprehension of meeting that person. You don't know, you know, you need to gauge that person. I could have sat here and not got on. You could have been hard, whoever you are, like hard work, and it would have made this podcast painful.
And how do you control that? I mean, I guess for you or for the people listening to this, what do you do to make it better?
Again, overthinking. Overthinking is the worst thing in the world. Overthinking, overanalyzing. See, whether it be body dysmorphia and you're overanalyzed, don't. Stop. Stop overanalyzing. Take a couple of pictures. Just stop. You have to just stop yourself, you know, and be like, listen, that's sweet. That one's fine. Done. Leave it at that. Don't keep looking at it. Pick a picture. Do you know what I'm saying? Go into a room. Don't overthink it. I could sit in there thinking, oh, is he thinking I'm talking a load of bollocks? Whether I am, whether I'm not. We're here now. We're having a chat. This is real. This is raw. You know, no smoke and mirrors. It is what it is. Stop worrying about how people look. So I could be sitting there thinking about, oh, what people going to think about what I'm saying? Are you going to think, oh, is he talking? Fuck them.
They can turn it off.
Turn it off. You don't like it, don't listen. You don't like me, don't follow me. Don't like me, don't be around me. Don't invite me on your podcast. This is me. Accepting who you are, being comfortable with that, that's the power, you know? And like I said, even though I'm this self-aware, and I'm, which is apparent itself, I still have days, good and bad days, where I will overanalyze certain things, you know? And it just is what it is. And it's heightened in this day and age because of everything, you know, social media, media in general, you know, what we're told to look like, eat, drink, sleep, whatever we're told to be as a person is overanalyzed anyway. And then being in this industry, when you're actually that person in the magazine, it's then tenfold, which makes it a lot more difficult. Now, I'm not sitting here saying I want, you know, I've done this again. I keep saying Good Morning Britain. I've done Good Morning Britain the other day and I spoke about it. I'm not looking for, I was just making people aware of it. The people, even like me, that people might look up to and people might think, listen, he's a good looking guy. He's in shape. He's very confident. Even someone like me, probably more so someone like me, suffers from body dysmorphia because it's that pressure. Like, if I all of a sudden put on a lot of weight, straight away, tabloids. What's happened to Lockie? Do you know what I'm saying? I'd be in the tabloids. I'd make Daily Mail. If I turn up one day and I was fat, say like last time you've seen me, I'm ripped. If I, you know, in a couple of weeks' time was pictured eating a fucking donut, big fat fuck, that'd make headline news. You think, how is that important? How is that the national news? But it would. And that's when the added pressure comes. It's what people don't acknowledge. It's what I was trying to get at. And then also what I was letting people know is that it's okay. Listen, you don't got to be in shape 24/7. You haven't got to look perfect in your mind 24/7. Just be comfortable with yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? And stop giving a fuck. That's a powerful thing as well. Stop overanalyzing. Stop giving a fuck. You know, no one thinks about you as much as you think about yourself. That's what you need to remember.
Well, listen, you're a reality TV veteran.
Yep.
Many shows. Towie, obviously,
too many.
The biggest. Celebrity X on the Beach, The Challenge. What are we missing? What else have you done?
Subscribe Dating.
Of course.
Done a few other little ones. He's, you know, a few of these little shows, if you like. Not little shows, but more like just a one-dayers or a couple of days.
What's your favourite?
I love Towie. I did love Towie. I enjoyed it. I wouldn't have done it for 10 years if I didn't enjoy it. Terry becomes second nature.
Why did you leave?
I haven't left at the minute. It's the door's still open, but what's happened? I took a bit of time out to pursue other things. So since a boy, one of my boyhood dreams, like see that now I'm at a point, right, where you know I'm in my 30s and I feel very comfortable, very content within myself. Now saying that, listen, like I said to you, body dysmorphia, anxiety, certain other things that a lot of people suffer from. I do have them problems still. Yeah, I still have them problems, but they don't hinder my daily routine. I still go out and do my daily business. I'm not locking myself away. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, I still get on with life because life goes on. It is what it is. You know, I'm not mentally stronger than that. But having them problems, I'm at a point where I'm that confident. If anything, I feel like I'm in my peak of my life. I feel very well-rounded as an individual. I feel very comfortable with myself and my own skin. And now I'm trying to pursue certain dreams. So one of them is acting. I've always wanted to be an actor. Now, I've not just woke up one day and thought, look, I don't reality. I fancy doing acting. I've gone away. You know, I took a back step from reality. You know, I've stepped away from TOWIE. I've gone and done acting classes. I'm doing acting classes with Jack Ryder, used to be on EastEnders, Jamie from EastEnders. I'm pursuing something. I'm investing. It's cost me money. It's not free. I'm putting a lot of money. I'm losing money in other areas. You know, I've stepped away from other very lucrative endorsements for me. You know, I've been offered a lot of money to do certain things. I stepped away from that because I need to clean up my image. And being an actor, you can't do certain things. It's a very clicky industry. You know, it's this is a full-time job. Me being me is a full-time job. Even reality, there's a lot. Reality is a lot harder than people realize. There's a lot more to it. Not everyone can do it. People just think, oh, it's one of these realities. Go and do it. Go and sit on camera. It's a lot more to it than just being on camera and, you know, just it's not one man on the camera. It's a full setup. Even the day is very basic setup. If you're on set, for reality, there's three characters, there's a full crew there. It's like you're filming a movie. People don't realise that. It's a full-time thing. There's a lot of investment from you as a person. But that was one part of my life and I enjoyed it. I loved it. But my admiration and my... You know, where I wanted to be in life, you know, my 5-year plan, I want to be an actor. I've always wanted to be an actor since I was a young kid. I've always loved the movies. You know, we all love the movie, but I'm actually love, you know, I sit there and I'm obsessed with films, all different types of films. You know, I'll sit there watching films. Like, I've watched films back to back all day. I don't sit there watching normal TV. I watch films. I'm a proper film geek. Every type of film, you know. And yeah, like I said, I've always wanted to be an actor. And that's what I've got away now because I want to do something. I'm that comfortable with myself. I've gone away, invested in myself, and that's where I'm going to be in 5 years. I see myself being in Hollywood, doing a big film, and I'm going to do that, and I'm doing it for myself. It's not for the fame. It's not for other people. It's for me. It's something that I want to... That's my legacy. That's where I want to be.
What's the dream role, the dream film? I see you in a Guy Ritchie gangster movie.
Listen, I'd love that. See, listen, no, that's a very obvious role, but being someone, don't say, I'd love to be someone, say like Jason Statham, something like that. Jason Statham for me. You know, Jason Statham's like the new Arnie or the new Van Damme. I'd love to be someone like that. Meet Ray Winston, you know, Ray Winston, Jason Statham, that sort of role. You know, it's a very easy role. There's a few films that I'm doing. I met my director yesterday before I come and see you. There's a couple of films that I'm doing, you know, and that's them sort of roles. That's very easy. That's the sort of, with my background and how I talk, and you know, it's a very easy role for me to fulfill. But that's a starting point. You know, so I'd love to go and do theatre. You know, as well, like people never ever see me on stage. I'd love to try everything. You know, I'm at the point now where I would actually give everything a go. Whether it's good or bad, I'm going to give it a go. And I'm comfortable with myself.
And obviously you sound very, very committed to that. How, you know, talking in terms of, I guess, of failure or of commitment to something, how long will you give the acting? Like you say, the door's open on
Tarry,
for
example. No, the acting's on me. So listen, I'm not relying on anyone else. The acting's down to me.
But what I mean is, like, the door, you say the door's open on Tarry, you can go back if you want. But you also think it's impacting on the acting. I mean, if you haven't made a movie by next year, would you still go back to TOWIE?
Oh, no, I'm committed to say that. I'm still doing TV. Okay. I've just done a reality show. But there's certain shows that are... See, with the acting, it is a little bit snobby. In that world, it is a little bit snobby. I don't know if snobby is the right word, but it's like, if anything, it's harder as a reality star to make that transition into acting than it is for a Joe Bloggs, because you come with a stigma.
Yeah.
I come as Lockie from TOWIE. Now, I am Lockie. I'm not Lockie. I'm Lockie. He's not Lockie from TOWIE. But people perceive me as that character. Now, I'm playing myself, but you're seeing a snippet of me. You're seeing a snippet of me within that show. You know, you've got to remember it's scripted reality. You know, things are set up, you know, for your entertainment. It's a show. People watch EastEnders and they get over-invested. They start thinking, you know, Ian Bill's Ian Bill, Phil Mitchell's Phil Mitchell. They're playing a character. Does that make sense? And even though, even reality, when you're on a show like Scripted Reality, yes, we're playing ourselves, but it's 50-50. It's in the middle. It's a very fine line where a lot of stuff that you're doing, you know, is set up for the entertainment of the viewer. With the acting now, I feel like I can step away, go and indulge being, playing a character. You know, that's stepping out of reality for me. And for me, I enjoy it more. I love acting. I love being the acting, stepping out of my comfort zone, playing someone else or portraying someone else. It's exciting. It's fun. You used to do it when you were a kid. When you were a kid, you've got no worries in the world. You'll sit there, you'll play, you know, well, you're playing, you know, cops and robbers with your pal, you know, cowboys and Indians. You know, you're stepping out, you're playing a character. It's not reality. That makes sense.
We talk about scripted reality and things being real or not real. Obviously, your most recent reality was Celebrity X on the Beach,
yep.
Which started a week or so ago.
It started a week ago. I'm not in it at the minute. So I've done, it's the second time I've done that show. I don't know if my ex Yasmin this time.
How real are those kind of things? Because we say it's scripted, you know, you're kind of playing a role, even though it's yourself. I mean, is it still a surprise when shows like that?
You've got to understand, like, see the show. So me and my ex flying out to Gran Canaria and being in a villa for 2 weeks, that's not reality, is it? Yeah, that's the scripted parties. Getting us both to go to, I'd never have been to Gran Canaria. I've never have bumped into my ex in that environment had it not been for the show. Orchestrating that, yeah? So that's where it becomes scripted. That's what people need to understand. Then see if you're, you know, because most of the time, say you see an ex, you might bump into an ex, you know, at a bar, restaurants. You ain't got to go and speak to him. You might see him, depending on who the ex is, whether you speak to him is all on you. When you're on a TV show, you're told, I have to engage with that ex, whether I like him or I don't. You're told to engage. Do you know what I'm saying? Because the end result is, you know, filmed for entertainment. It's for, do you know what I'm saying? It's for the pleasure of the viewer. So that's when it becomes not reality. So I'm saying, even though it's reality, it's not reality because that was never, would never ever have happened.
Any goss from the season you can give us?
Just listen, can't give obviously too much away. Obviously, you know, everyone knows I'm coming into it. Obviously me and Yasmin on it, we've come into it. I'm just gonna say there's a lot of emotions. Is quite dramatic. Me and Yasmin always are. We're very similar. And you know, when we're good, we're good. But when we're bad, we're very bad. That's what I'm going to say. It's a very explosive series.
We get to see some fireworks.
Yeah,
on TV,
fireworks. Me and Yasmin are great now. Look, we're since me and her, we will always be very good friends. I've got nothing but love for Yasmin, and she'll always be a part of my life. And we'll always be friends. You know, I've got a lot of time for her. But put in the wrong environment. But we get on, we speak all the time, me and Yasmin, and we're cool. You know, she goes and does her thing, I'm doing my thing. But we're cool, you know. But put us in an environment, a certain environment, you know, especially when alcohol's involved, I feel like, you know, it's a remedy for destruction, for chaos, and it does go off. But like I said, we kick off, you know, and we're very vocal, can be very volatile. But like I said, ultimately, we both love each other. Have a respect for each other, and that's why we're still friends. We're friends now, you know. But on the show, you're going to see, yeah, mixed emotions. Let's just say a lot of mixed emotions, highs and lows. But it's enjoy. I feel better that we had it. We hadn't spoken a year before I'd done it.
And really?
And I feel we sort of half did fall out, and I feel better. We needed. There's a lot of, when you see someone, there was a lot of emotions. There was a lot of, like, there was love there, but a lot of, you know, hurt and anger as well. And I think you see that on the show. So yeah, it's good.
Well, I look forward to checking it out. So other than seeing you on the big screen, what have we got to look forward to next for Lockie?
Obviously, I'm doing the app. And in a minute, I've got the app, the fitness stuff. So in a minute, I've not tried to not to spread myself too thinly. I'm doing things that, you know, yes, work, but things that make me happy. Like even podcasts. I get asked to do podcasts all day. I'm here because I get on with friends. And I feel very comfortable. You can see I've just talked a lot of bollocks today, but I feel very comfortable and I'm doing things that please me, you know. So yes, the acting is where I want to be. It's been a boyhood, a childhood dream. That's where I'm going to be. I will be an actor. You know, I'm still doing reality TV. There's a few shows, big shows that I'm in line for. I'm waiting to hear back. Still doing reality. I still will probably pop in to TOWIE one day and do little cameos here and there. But the main goal for me is the acting. That's where I want to be in the future. Then again, and the fitness stuff. The fitness keeps me, you know, I'll probably go to the gym after this because the fitness keeps me mentally sane and it keeps me well balanced and well rounded and it keeps me grounded. You know, going to the gym, I think going to the gym is a cure for anything. So
absolutely.
Yeah, just mainly just doing things this year and in the future that make me happy. You know, that's what life's about.
Well, listen, that's fantastic advice for anyone of any age in any walk of life, buddy. It's been a pleasure having you here. Like I say, always good to do it with a friend. And
trying to get rid of me now, ain't sharp.
I'm worried about your parking meter. Now, listen, I look forward to doing another one again with you sometime soon, Paul. Thanks for being
here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Stripping Off with Matt Haycox. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this week's episode, but please remember to subscribe or to follow, and please, please leave a review. If you can leave a review, that's how we move up the algorithm, that's how we get to the top of the charts, and that's how I can keep bringing you bigger and better guests that you'll love each week. Have you got any suggestions for guests? Have you got any burning questions you want to ask? Well, slide into my DMs on social at Stripping Off with Matt Haycox.